Shalom, welcome to Ash JTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Harav Mir Kahana, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, the Israeli government is already announcing that they have plans to rebuild Gaza, to repair all the damage that was done in the recent war, to assist the Arab Muslim Nazis and give them another reward for attacking Israel, murdering Jews, and seeking to destroy the Jewish people. The Israeli government wants to give them $1.5 billion and wants to go in and build new housing for them. And you know the new housing they're going to build is going to be much better than what they had before, because what they had before in most cases is what the Arabs themselves built, and what the Arabs themselves built is junk. The Israelis, on the other hand, will of course go in and build beautiful, new, modern housing for these Muslim terrorist mass murderers. In other words, on every front, Israel is working to reward the Arab terrorist mass murderers for what they have done to the Jewish people, for paralyzing Israel's economy, for murdering dozens of innocent Jews, for seeking to commit genocide against the Jewish people, for turning the entire population of Israel, millions of Jews, into prisoners in shelters where they had to hide in shelters because of the missile attacks that were going on for more than 7 weeks. All of this has to be rewarded. You have to reward the Hamas terrorists. You have to reward the Hamas Muslim population in Gaza that supports the terrorists. And so Israel wants to give them $1.5 billion, and the United States and Europe, of course, will give them billions more. And before you know it, under these plans, they'll have the most beautiful modern housing that they never dreamed that they would ever be able to attain. All brand new. Worth 10 times as much as the junk that they had before. In addition to that, Israel, of course, wants to open up all of the ports and all of the passageways that were sealed to prevent the Hamas terrorists from smuggling in weapons. They want to open the whole thing up. They're going to basically, piece by piece, take apart the embargo that existed against Gaza, which is what Hamas was demanding when they started the war. So the demands of Hamas are being granted. And way beyond the dreams, the wildest dreams of Hamas, they also want to repair for the civilian population homes and structures and streets and highways and buildings and schools and mosques. Before you know it, they're going to be building communities for them that are much better than anything Jews in Israel have. All for free, of course. And all to prove to the world how wonderful Israel is, how wonderful the Jews are, how nice the Jews are. Because we know that the problem is that the Hamas terrorists don't realize how nice Israeli Jews are. If they only knew how nice we are, they wouldn't fire missiles on our children and on our schools and on our hospitals. And they wouldn't seek to slaughter us or forcibly convert us. Of course not. If they only knew how nice we are, how generous we are. This is the type of government and news media and Supreme Court an army that Israel has. This is the mentality of these sick, self-hating Jews that run Israel and that rule over Israel. And let me tell you, a lot of Israeli Jews do not agree with these policies at all. But they never offered an alternative, a serious alternative. They don't believe there is a serious alternative because we're not a mass movement. We're not there to give them a real alternative. You know, when the war started, Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud had an 87% approval rating in the polls. 87%. Now they're down to 30% because people see what the results of the war are. Now most Israelis do not approve of what they did in the war now. Israelis are extremely disappointed at what happened. But we were the only ones that said from the beginning that this is exactly what is going to happen. Exactly what happened. This is exactly what we said would happen. Once again, what we predicted, what we said would happen from the start, has come true. Once again, JTF was right from the start. And everyone else was wrong. How pathetic it is. How pathetic it is that the only group that's right on all of these issues, the leader of the group can't even set foot in Israel. The organization is pushed aside to the shadows. Anyway, there's no reason to despair. We were warned by Chazal, by the great rabbis in the Talmud, that this is how the final generations would be before the coming of the Messiah. This is how things would be. They call light darkness and darkness light, good evil and evil good. This is what we were told would happen. And it's playing out the way we were told it would play out. But let it be very clear that if we ever get to first base and become a mass movement, if we were a mass movement and people saw that we're right over and over again, what do you think would happen? If everyone in Israel was aware of what we had predicted and saw that we were right when everyone else was wrong, saw that all of our predictions come true again and again, what do you think would eventually happen? Obviously, we would change history. You know, I listened to some of the videos that are put out by some other people on the right. And they start saying, when we say things, they start saying the same things we say. For instance, one of the things we said was, the Netanyahu regime, the Netanyahu-Yalon-Lieberman-Bennett-Lapid regime doesn't even want to win the war. They stated from the start that their goal is just another ceasefire. To go back to where we started from. After all the destruction and the death and the sacrifices the people of Israel had to make, all of it is for nothing. All of it is just so that we have another ceasefire with Hamas. That's what we were saying. We said from the start that the Israeli government has declared from the beginning they don't intend to win. They've declared from the beginning their whole goal is just a ceasefire and negotiating with the Muslim terrorists. So how can you win when you have a situation like that? The goal of the Israeli government and the Israeli army isn't to win. It's a ceasefire. We were the only ones saying that in the beginning, and now I see videos from other leaders. I don't want to mention them, but there are other leaders on the right who are saying almost word for word what we said in the video. They were saying they didn't even say they want to win. They didn't even declare that's their goal. They declared from the beginning their goal is a ceasefire. Almost word for word what we were saying. They could have said all of that in the beginning, but maybe they were saying, oh, we hope that this time Bibi means it, and this time Bibi's going to give it to them, and hopefully this time it'll lead to victory. We were the only ones who said we knew that this isn't going to happen, that there was no way this was going to happen. There was no way there was going to be a victory. Now you may ask, well, what do you gain by saying that? What we gain by saying that is to expose the Israeli government and the Israeli army and make the people force them to win a victory. Make the people, through public opinion, force them and put pressure on them to stop murdering Jewish soldiers for nothing and stop exposing the Jewish people to this type of danger. That's the purpose of this. That's why we said what we said. That's why we attack the criminals who run Israel's establishment. And yes, if we were a mass movement and we were able to do that, if we had been a mass movement and were able to do that, we never would be in this situation to begin with. The policies of Israel, even before we'd come to power, the policies of the current government would be completely different if we were a mass movement, because we would be a force of public opinion, massive pressure on the government that they would not be able to ignore. Yet, tragically, of course, because we don't have the funds and the resources to reach the people to become a mass movement, because we've proven already on Facebook that if we had the proper funding, we would be a mass movement. Because we don't have the proper funding, we're not a mass movement. And so these tragic situations occur, and this Chilul Hashem, this desecration of God's name, occurs. But no reason to despair. There's no reason to despair. Our brilliant admin Shlomo is building two special news pages for us, one in English and one in Hebrew. The one in Hebrew especially, we hope, will become a mass page. We hope the one in English will also become a mass page, but we think the one in Hebrew would probably become a mass page before then. When I say a mass page, in other words, we'd have thousands and eventually tens of thousands of people, God willing, coming to the page, constantly looking for their news there, that we would be a major source of news, and that would turn us eventually into a mass movement. That's the goal. Once we get this page up and running, God willing, if we succeed in getting up a good page and getting it running with daily updates and daily news, and again, Facebook can't take us down if we do this, and YouTube can't take us down, because this will be a page on our server. Let me make it clear. This is not a Facebook page. This is not a YouTube page. We're going to be on YouTube. We're going to be on Facebook. But in addition to that, this is not a Facebook page. This is not a YouTube page. This is a page that we're running on our own website, independently of everybody. So Facebook and YouTube and these other big corporations and all these other people, they can't remove what we're saying. We can't be taken down because we're not politically correct. And so if we succeed in doing this and getting a lot of people, the goal here is going to be to build a very high quality page with great posts and videos and articles, just great stuff. And then we want to attract as many people as we can to the page, to this independent page on our website. We want to use Facebook and use YouTube and use videos and use every other means available in order to attract people to this new news page. That's going to be the goal. If we succeed, and if we become a major source of information for the Jews of Israel, and remember, we got 27,000 members on our Facebook page, so if we could do something like that on our own page, and it's not going to be easy, it's going to be harder than on Facebook, because we're not on Facebook now, we're on our own page. But if we could attract those types of numbers, tens of thousands, to this new page, if we can eventually do that, and I think it'll take time, but if we could eventually do that, I do think that it will influence things. And if we become a mass movement, if we attract really large numbers of Israeli Jews to the page and become a mass movement, then I am telling you, we will change Jewish history. We will move all of Israel to the right. We will change public opinion in Israel. We will give a whole new perspective to the way Jews think in Israel. By the way, just bear in mind, if people are imitating and quoting us almost word for word now, and I'm talking about a couple of people who are in the Knesset, and a couple of people who were in the Knesset in the past, and a couple of people who are in the Knesset now, who do videos and who make speeches and who post statuses on their Facebook page and say things almost word for word, saying almost word for word what we're saying. And I'm not gonna name names, because I don't want to discourage them from doing it. I want them to continue to quote us and continue to tell the truth. If I make them self-conscious about it, they won't do it anymore. But if we're doing this now in where we are now, can you imagine if we had tens of thousands of people on an independent website page that Facebook and YouTube and the other establishment people can't take down? Can you imagine if we had that going now? Can you imagine if we had something like that? If we had that type of power and that type of reach, how many people we'd be influencing? And of course, the Israeli Bolshevik news media would attack us, and the American news media eventually would attack us. And that would all be good, because with their attacks, more people would know about the page and more people would come to us. But if we succeed, you better believe we're going to change history, God willing. And it will be a very positive force for Israel and for the world. So we have something to look forward to. We certainly were helped by the fact that on Facebook we had 27,000 people, and many people were visiting our page. Many people now know about us. Many people who didn't know about us now know about us because of what we did on Facebook. That publicity that we got on Facebook, that big page that we built on Facebook, really helped, even though Facebook eventually took it down, because they saw that we were getting very big and they felt threatened by it because they're leftist self-hating Jews. But despite that, there's no question that we were helped by that whole process, because now large numbers of Israeli Jews who didn't know us well got to know us on that page and were very impressed with what they saw. And so we need your help. We need your help to make it happen. These are the things you can do to make a big difference, to really help us. First of all, when you see us put up Hebrew and English videos on Facebook and on YouTube, help us promote those videos. Even if they're in Hebrew and you don't speak Hebrew, help us promote the videos in Hebrew and in English, the ones that are in Hebrew and the ones that are in English. Help us promote them, because when you like them, when you share them, or on YouTube, when you like and favorite and comment and mirror, when you do those things on our videos, it boosts us in the search engines. So it is worthwhile. So help us promote those videos. That's number one. Number two, of course, we need good posts and good threads on our forum and on our Facebook pages. And number three, most importantly, checks, money orders, cash donations made out to the post office box can make a tremendous difference, especially now. Especially now that we're starting this new site that we urgent. I mean, it's the urgent need for this is so obvious. We have to be a source of information and news for the people of Israel. They are not getting the truth. They're not getting the news. They're not getting the facts. We have to be that source of information and news for them. And that's in Hebrew. And eventually, if the Hebrew one gets big, I believe it will reflect upon the English one. And I think the English news page, because we're going to do an English news page as well, God willing, the English news page, I believe, will also grow as a result, God willing. So now especially, checks, money orders, cash donations make a big difference now. They'll make a big difference in enabling us to reach enough people to make this happen. This is our chance to make this happen. If we can make this happen now, this would be much better than what we had on Facebook. Because on Facebook, we were always under the threat of Facebook eventually taking us down. We're not going to be under that threat with our own independent web page now. We're not going to be under that threat anymore. So every check, every money order, every cash donation really does make a difference. It really is important. And it really will help us reach more people at this incredibly critical time. But if you don't want to, for convenience sake, send a check or a money order or cash donation through the regular mail to the post office box, if you prefer to do this online, if you feel it's more convenient to do it online, that's fine. You can just go to our Hebrew main page, which is hayamin.org. You just go to www.hayamin.org. You don't even need the www. Hayamin.org. You go to hayamin.org, our Hebrew main page, and on the top there's a donate button in English. And you click on the donate button, and in several minutes you can make a convenient, easy donation. All right, let's go to our questions now from our great JTFers, and we start off with the great Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, expose and give proper Jewish blessing to following creatures. Jermaine, okay, we have six people here. Just want everybody to know there's six people being asked about here, and I can't stand any of the six people. But anyway, here we go. Number one is Jermaine Jackson. Well, Jermaine Jackson is Michael Jackson's brother. He converted to Islam. He's an evil, anti-white, anti-Semitic, Muslim piece of garbage. And next is Israel Shamir. Israel Shamir is a Russian Jew who converted to Orthodox Christianity and became the worst Nazi Jew hater you can imagine. He's a Holocaust denier. He says the Jews conquered the whole world and controlled the whole world. He's a supporter of neo-Nazi groups in Europe and Russia. I mean, the worst Nazi anti-Semite. I mean, literally supports the outright Nazis and speaks like a Nazi. And he, of course, is welcome in Israel. He's an Israeli citizen as well. And he's welcome in Israel. He's welcome in Israel, and I'm banned from Israel. And next is Karen Armstrong. Oh, this is the Jew-hating, Muslim-loving author. You know, she writes books and directs series on PBS about Mohammed, about what a wonderful so-called prophet he was and how wonderful Islam is. This is a former nun, by the way, who loves Islam and loves the Muslims and, of course, is anti-Israel and anti-Semitic, naturally. Scum, pure scum. And Robert Fisk. Robert Fisk is a Jew-hating British journalist who, among other things, constantly slams Israel, constantly bashing Israel in his stories and speaking about how dreadful it is what the Israelis have done to the poor Hamas terrorists, to the poor Arabs in Gaza, how terrible it is. And this animal also interviewed Osama bin Laden three times in the 1990s. He very respectfully interviewed Osama bin Laden. He didn't think there was anything wrong with him. He was very nice to Osama bin Laden when he met him, actually met him and interviewed him three times in the 1990s. He speaks Arabic and loves the Arabs. So he's the ultimate example of a Jew-hating British journalist, Robert Fisk. And then we have Nikki Minaj. Oh, what an ugly, untalented black whore. She's another one who raps.
She be rapping. Yeah, she like to rap.
What an ugly, untalented whore. I mean, just a disgusting, ugly, untalented animal. And next is Drake. Oh, that's another moronic rapper, another untalented imbecile. All six of these creatures, Yamach Shmam B'Zichram Shem Reshayim Yirkav, may their names and memories be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we now go to the great Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, your thoughts on, and we have four more people here, Harrison Ford. Okay, Harrison Ford, his mother was Jewish, by the way, so he's a Jew. So halachically, he's a Jew. Because his mother was Jewish, even though she intermarried, and even though she considered herself to be a Christian. But she was born Jewish, so he's halachically Jewish. And of course, he intermarried three different times. He's a self-described left-wing Democrat. Just an evil piece of garbage, Harrison Ford. And Rodney Dangerfield, another intermarried Jew who never did one good thing for the Jewish people. Went around basically making Jews look like crap and never did one good thing for the Jewish people. Intermarried, you know, wealthy, successful. Never thought of using any of the success and wealth that he achieved to help his people, never. The opposite, in fact. He did the opposite. Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill is the Star Wars actor. I don't know very much about him. So Mark Hamill, I'm not going to comment on because I just don't know enough about him. Neil Diamond. Oh, Neil Diamond is another self-hating Jew. He intermarried twice and never did one good thing for the Jewish people. Not one. With all of his money and fame and everything that he achieved, the only thing he did with his money and fame is to intermarry and never do one positive thing to help his fellow Jews or to help Israel. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we go now to our great friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, do you think that the cop in Missouri and the one in Staten Island will get off for killing an innocent, quote-unquote, black man? Thanks. I don't know. I certainly hope so. I don't think that, you know, I think that the guy in Missouri... I'm not that familiar with what happened in Staten Island, but I know in the Missouri case, the Ferguson case, that cop is completely innocent, that he acted completely in self-defense and did the right thing, and she should get a medal. I mean, you know, he should get a commendation for what he did, not face a grand jury. So I hope he gets off. And I hope that this lynch mob doesn't succeed in creating a situation where everybody's hands are tied and you're not allowed to defend yourself against black people. Black people are allowed to do anything they want to you, rob, kill, murder, anything they want to do to you. And if you defend yourself, you're a racist and you're the one who gets in trouble. I mean, if we have a situation like that, this country is finished. So let's hope that certainly that cop in Missouri gets off because he didn't do anything wrong. Thank you, Joe. And we go now to our great friend Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, discuss the Willow Creek brothel. Well, Lewinsky Stinks here is referring to the Willow Creek Church, which is, they call themselves evangelical, but they believe in replacement theology. In other words, they believe the Jews are no longer chosen by God and have now been abandoned by God. And the co-founder of this mega church, Lynn Heibels, her name is, should be Lynn Goebbels. Lynn Heibels Goebbels, she preaches Nazi Jew hatred. She supports Israel's destruction. She supports all the enemies of Israel. So that's Nazi Jew hatred. You know, if you want to destroy Israel and help the Arab Muslim Nazis commit genocide against the Jews of Israel, that's Nazism. That's Nazi Jew hatred. And that's what this church does. There's no question that there are a high percentage of people in the evangelical Christian community who do not agree with the good guys, who do not agree with good Christians like Mike Huckabee and Ted Cruz and Pastor Manning. I mean, those are good Christians. There are people, there are definitely anti-Semites who are evangelical and they're still anti-Semitic. And this church is an example of that. So, we should be aware of it. And Lewinsky Stinks now writes, the majority of pro-Israel Americans are older adults, young persons are much more pro-Arab, unquote. Of course. Because the percentage of older adults that are white is much higher, whereas the percentage of third world people who are younger is much, whereas most of the young people today are from third world backgrounds, and third world backgrounds are anti-Israel and anti-Semitic, generally speaking. Not in all cases, but generally speaking. And Lewinsky Stinks writes, discuss NOI, Nation of Islam, Jihad, unquote. Well, the Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan have always supported Jihad. They've always supported the enemies of America, the enemies of Israel. Louis Farrakhan says that the whole white race are devils that are destined to be exterminated. Louis Farrakhan says the Jews deserve another Holocaust. Louis Farrakhan is a supporter of genocide and Holocausts. So, don't be surprised if you hear about people who were in his cult, because the Nation of Islam is a cult, if you hear them eventually joining ISIS and joining these other groups, other terrorist groups, don't be surprised if you hear this type of thing happening, because the indoctrination starts here, starts in the United States. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to our great friend Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, the so-called Palestinian flag, I think you mean to say, that was draped over the Brooklyn Bridge 2 weeks ago, was vandalism, I know you'll agree, unquote. Well, it was worse than vandalism. They held up traffic and people couldn't move and they paralyzed the whole city, these filthy terrorists. These are terrorists. There are no Palestinians. There is no Palestine. That's a flag of genocide against the Jewish people, and that's what they support, genocide against the Jewish people. And they paralyzed the whole city over the bridge. I mean, when you hold up that bridge, you're paralyzing the city's traffic. And they should have been treated very harshly for that criminal behavior. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to our great friend Christians for Jews, who writes, and I quote, they televise the thug Michael Brown's funeral. Do they televise the funerals of white murder victims, unquote? Oh, of course not. The whole objective of the news media is to tell us that whites are never the murder victims, that black people don't do that, that the blacks are the good guys, the black murderers are the good guys. The black criminals, the black rapists, the black murderers, black racists, those are the good guys. Any white person that tries to defend themselves, that just tries to survive, is the bad person. They're the bad guys. That is the message of the news media in this country and in Europe for the past 50 years. So, we see the consequences. We see the consequences. They're succeeding. They're succeeding. They have the majority of people brainwashed. And unless we grow very fast and can wake people up very fast, or something wakes them up, America and Europe are finished. Unless they're woken up quickly, America and Europe are going to go right down the drain. Thank you, Christians for Jews. And we go now to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, does Al Sharpton know about JTF? Has he seen JTF shows? Has he personally attacked JTF? Has he attacked Pastor Manning, unquote? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I know that Al Sharpton has attacked Rabbi Kahana and Kahana's Jews. Whether he has attacked JTF, I don't know the answer to that. I've never heard him attack JTF. And whether he has attacked Pastor Manning or not, I don't know. I just don't know, Binyamin. Sorry, I don't know the answer to that. And we go now to a relatively new member, Art. Welcome, Art, to our forum. And to SJTF, Art writes, and I quote, I am in L.A. and would like to contact some local JTF member. Please call me. Thanks. Oh, yeah. Art, let me just finish this for a second. Art, you put your personal phone number on here. We don't like when personal information like that is put on the forum, when you have a personal phone number for your protection, we would prefer not to put personal information like that on the forum. People are safe on our forum. The members of our forum are good people. The vast majority of them are very good people. But you have some people who come to the forum who may harass people if they see a phone number. I doubt that they would. I mean, they don't know you. They don't know you, so I don't think they would. But I had to remove your phone number because for your protection, I don't want you to get harassing calls if some nut job. Because we've had a few nut jobs that have joined us in the past. You know, when you go to the general public and appeal to the general public to join you, you're going to have, once in a while, you're going to have some nuts that are going to join. And so, for your protection, Art, I had to remove your phone number. If you want to get in touch with people or you want to speak to somebody, you can try to contact people through private message on the forum. You can try to contact one of our leaders through private message on the forum if you have something you want to say to us. But to publicly put your phone number, your own phone number, I don't know if it's your home phone number, work phone number, on the forum, I don't think that's a good idea. And we will protect our members if they do that. We will remove personal information like that. Thank you, Art. And we go now to the great LKZ, who writes, and I quote, "Have you read Son of Hamas? It promotes territory surrender, conversion to Christianity, protecting terrorist bench warmers, and ending checkpoints," unquote. No, I haven't read it. I know it's about someone who was a son of one of the Hamas founders who later converted to Christianity. And who claims to have worked with the Israeli Mossad. You know, you can't trust these people. You can't trust somebody who comes from that type of background. It's very hard to trust them in many cases. And if this is what he's advocating, then with friends like this, we really don't need any enemies. He's not. What he's advocating would also destroy the Jewish people. So you're absolutely right, LKZ. Thank you, LKZ. Good point. And we go now to the great paper cut, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, please speak on the Chamsa and Lilitu amulet. Do these things really have powers?" Unquote. I certainly do not believe that they have powers. I think that it's superstition, and Harambam Maimonides says that these are superstitions. No, I believe it's superstition. I don't believe it has power. Thank you. Paper cut. And in Hebrew, the word for superstition is emunat fela. Emunat fela, which means secondary faith. If someone has secondary faith, a faith in some other power other than God, that's superstition. That's the definition of superstition in the Jewish religion. Thank you. Paper cut. And we go now to our great friend Manch. "I don't have an answer to Israel military dependency. I hope you did. You don't. Unfortunately, most Israelis, including IDF, also believe this source of weakness." Manch, I think you're wrong. Okay? You obviously don't believe in what it says in the Bible when it says in the Bible that we're supposed to be independent. you know, it says some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Our strength is not with tanks and planes and missiles and weaponry. That's not what brings us strength in the final analysis. It's doing what Hashem, what God commands us to do. And being completely independent is what God commands us to do. And you're wrong about Israel and military independence. Israel can be militarily independent. Okay, what you're saying contradicts everything in Jewish history, which proves that when we are independent, we're stronger. And unfortunately, you don't see that. That's unfortunate. You tell me the IDF also believe. The IDF is run by leftists. The generals in the IDF are leftists. They've been wrong on every issue. And Manch, when I have said something's going to happen, and when the IDF has said something else is going to happen, I've been proven right. The IDF supported Oslo. The IDF supported this terrible campaign we just had in Gaza. Everything I said would happen from Oslo has happened. Everything I said would happen from Gush Katif has happened. The IDF supported Gush Katif as well. The general said it was necessary to do what they did in Gush Katif, that it would enhance Israel's security. So the people you depend upon, the so-called experts that you have faith in, have been wrong always, always, on every single issue. And I got news for you, Manch. We've been right on every single issue, and we're right about this. Thank you, Manch. And we go now to a new member on our forum called Catnip, who writes, and I quote, and welcome to the forum, Catnip, again. Shalom Chaim, I'm trying to organize a website to criticize NS Pirg, an anti-capitalist, anti-Israel group at Dalhousie University. Any advice for me, unquote. I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about, I don't know enough about the group, and I don't know enough about the university or what would attract people. Is the website going to be only for students at the university, or is it going to be for the general public? I don't know. Also, when you do a very specific website on a very specific subject, you know you're limiting the number of people that are going to come to you. If it's very, very specific, it's just homed in on one subject and on one little target audience, you know that you're limiting the number of people. So I don't know. It's something for you to take into consideration. But if you feel this is an important enough subject that has to be dealt with that way, then set it up. Set up the website. You could set up the website using a name that mirrors one of their names, exposing them or whatever, and you can try. I don't know enough about the group or about the university or about the people you're appealing to give you good advice. Except, again, just remember that if you're only going to deal with that one issue, and it may be an issue worthy of dealing with, I'm not saying you shouldn't. It may be worthy of that type of attention. But if you do that, then the number of people that are going to come are going to be only those that are interested in that issue. So it's going to be a limited audience and limited number of people coming to the website. Thank you, Catnip. And we go now to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, talk about the following. One, the weirdest, strangest Kahanist you knew, unquote. Well, this is someone who called himself a Kahanist at one point. The weirdest I ever... He wasn't a Kahanist. Was Uzi Zalka. Uzi Zalka was someone, an Israeli Jew, who joined our Hebrew forum, and we discovered that he was crazy. He started attacking everybody on the Hebrew forum all of a sudden. He was crazy, like once in a while we get crazy people on our English forum as well. This guy was completely crazy. And then when we removed him from the Hebrew forum, he eventually became, unfortunately, the admin of another forum, of another group that calls itself Kahanist. And from there, he started praising Hitler. he was praising Hitler and the Holocaust. This is an Israeli Jew praising Hitler and the Holocaust. First he said that, well, Hitler killed the Ashkenazi Jews, and that's good, because it's good to have a Holocaust against the Ashkenazi Jews. Then, to get revenge against me for throwing him off of our forum, he started doing videos claiming that I support a Holocaust against Ashkenazi Jews, God forbid, even though I'm half Ashkenazi myself. And of course, you know, and I went to prison and spent a lifetime fighting to free the Jews of Russia, who are all Ashkenazi Jews. I mean, it's an absurd claim. But anyway, he did these smear videos, which to this day YouTube has refused to remove. Videos smearing me, claiming that I support a Holocaust against Ashkenazi Jews, and that I'm glad that Hitler murdered Ashkenazi Jews. He actually did a video saying that, which has thousands and thousands of views, and which YouTube hasn't taken off to this day, which shows you what YouTube is all about. In any event, but that may not be bad, because eventually we'll see what we're going to do about that. I'm not going to go into detail, but that eventually, if we ever decide to take legal action against YouTube, that may work in our favor. But He was the weirdest, strangest person who ever claimed to be a Kahanist that I ever met. And there have been many. he had a lot of competition, but he was the strangest and craziest that I've ever met. Two, the wisest, not including Rabbi Kahana, the wisest Kahanist that I ever met. I'd say probably Dr. William Pearl. Zecher Tzaddik Livracha Hash. He really was an individual who was brilliant in every way. Dr. William Pearl was the head of the Washington, D.C. JDL. Before that, he was an attorney in Vienna, Austria, before the Holocaust. And he worked with Zev Jabotinsky and with those who were trying to smuggle Jews out of Europe, and he saved tens of thousands of Jews. Tens of thousands of Jews were saved from the Holocaust by him. He proved that we could have prevented the Holocaust, we could have saved the Holocaust. He actually met with Adolf Eichmann, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, in order to negotiate with him removing these tens of thousands of Jews from Europe, because originally the Nazis just wanted the Jews out of Europe. They thought they were going to conquer Europe and then eventually conquer the world. So first they just wanted to get the Jews out of Europe. They were willing to just throw the Jews out of Europe and not kill them. But the Jews, number one, didn't want to leave, and number two, and then when they did want to leave, they were betrayed by their own Jewish leaders, and the doors of every country in the world were closed to them eventually. But Dr. William Pearl did get tens of thousands out. He succeeded in getting tens of thousands out and saving tens of thousands. And when he was the head of Washington JDL, he was brilliant. He helped us tremendously, and he was brilliant. And I learned a lot from him. I really learned a lot from him. Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. May the memory of the saint be immortalized. And three, Kahanis to self-hater. In other words, someone who went from being a Kahanis to a self-hater. Just off the bat, I would say Murray Young and Andrew Young. Murray Young and Andrew Young were the heads of the Long Island JDL. And Murray Young stupidly kept illegal guns in his home. And so the FBI came to his house and arrested him for keeping illegal firearms in his home. And then he became an FBI informer in order to try to save himself. In vain, by the way. He still went to prison. He didn't save himself. He wound up opening up his big mouth, and he wound up incriminating himself even more. And he became a rat and an informer. And, there are many lessons we can learn from this. There's no excuse for being an informer under any circumstances for informing on your fellow Jews. He became an informer. His son, Andrew Young, became an informer. There's never any excuse for being an informer. An informer is a traitor, and there's no forgiving the informers. To the informers, may there be no hope. We pray for their destruction three times a day, in this world and in the next. But this animal became an informer, and there are also other lessons to be learned. You don't do stupid things like keep illegal guns in your house, especially when you're the head of, when you're head of an organization like JDL, a controversial organization. You don't do things like that. You don't break the law. You don't do illegal. You don't have illegal activities, which will get you into danger, which will create a situation where you're going to be in a lot of trouble. There are all types of lessons that can be learned from this, but the bottom line is Murray Young and Andrew Young from Long Island JDL, they went from being so-called Kahanists, they were never real Kahanists if they were willing to do this, but from being people who claimed they were Kahanists to being the ultimate example of self-hating Jews. And then four, self-hater to Kahanist, someone who went from being a self-hater to a Kahanist. I have known examples like that, but Dr. Dan, in this case, I'm going to pass because I don't want to recall embarrassing past things for people who are now good Jews. I don't want to remind them of an embarrassing past or embarrassing things they may have done in the past. So, I'd rather not. I mean, if they themselves want to recall this and they themselves want to say, what a self-hating Jew I was and what I did and how I turned around and changed. If they want to give testimony to this, that's fine, if they themselves want to do it. But I don't think it would be appropriate for me to bring it up, because it's sort of like it might be embarrassing to them. I might be embarrassing them if I do it. But I certainly have known people who went from being self-hating Jews to becoming Kahanists. Yes, I have known people like that. Thank you, Dr. Dan. Very interesting questions, by the way, Dr. Dan. Very interesting as always. Thanks. And we go now to our friend DGR81, who writes, and I quote, Der Chaim, what is your opinion of this article? DGR, I don't know. I haven't read the article. I'm going to click on it now. It's about what is Palestine and Palestinians. Okay, it gives some of the history here. It probably has a lot of good information on it. The one criticism I would have, DGR, is that it's hard to read. It's in dark blue and then black. When you have colors like that, the print is in black and the background is dark blue. It's hard to read. I mean, I can see it, but, you know, it's not easy on the eyes to read it. It's hard to read. You want to make things as easy as possible for people. When you want someone to read something, you want to make it as easy and clear and crystal clear as possible for them. You don't want to make things difficult for them, because it's hard enough to get people, even when things are crystal clear, to get them to read. You know, many people don't want to bother. So you certainly want to make things as easy as possible. So the one thing I would do, I would change the color background and make this very clear and very easy to read. There's probably good information here. Yeah, I see stuff about Arafat not being a Palestinian. He was born in Egypt. Okay, I see some I see some good stuff in the article. My only criticism is again the color background. Thank you, DGR. And we go now to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, please discuss Muslim Nazi convert, member of parliament George Galloway being beaten in London and hospitalized, unquote. Well, I think you know, EP22, that anything bad that happens to George Galloway pleases me. I mean, he's an animal, the lowest type of animal on the face of the earth. I mean, I hope he dies of terminal cancer and every other disease under the sun. He's a Muslim convert. He got married in a Muslim ceremony to a Muslim. He got married to a Muslim woman in a Muslim ceremony and defends Islam and loves Islam, calls for Israel's destruction all the time, supports every evil cause under the sun. I mean, just the worst type of vicious Jew hater, America hater, everything you can think of that's bad and evil. So anything bad happens to him, I'm happy. Thank you, EB22. And we go now to, okay, the great Tag Mechir Tzedek. Are you familiar with the false messiah Shabtai? I think you mean Shabtai Tzvi. I think you mean Shabtai Tzvi. Shabtai Tzvi, of course. He's probably the most famous false messiah that we ever had in Jewish history, and he did terrible damage to the Jewish people. Yes, of course. Do you think a similar tragedy can occur in our generation with either Chabad, Hasidut, and or the Zohar? Unquote. There's always a possibility that there could be false messiahs, and there are people who try to portray themselves as false messiahs. Of course, you can always have situations like that. I certainly don't want to attack Chabad, our friends in Chabad, because they're good Jews who are very supportive of the land of Israel. If we have differences of opinion in terms of the role of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, if there are Chabad people who believe that he's the Mashiach, who believe he's the Messiah, I do not believe that is true. But I don't want to attack Chabad, because I do think they're good Jews, and I do think that we can and should and will work together to help the Jewish people. Of course, we always have to be on guard, and I'm not saying this in regard to any particular group, but we have to be on guard against the possibility that there could be someone who could present themselves as a false prophet or a false messiah. That's always something that can occur at any time. And we have to be on guard against that, naturally. Thank you, Tag Mechir. And we now go to the great Ephraim ben Noach, who writes, and I quote, why was Hashem going to kill Moses in Exodus 4:24? Thanks, Chaim, unquote. because Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, did not circumcise his son Gershom. He didn't because the conditions in the desert were such, because of the extreme heat in the desert, that it was hard to heal. In those days, don't forget, people healing when they were bleeding, when they opened up for surgery, healing was a complicated and dangerous process in those days. So he was concerned about his son surviving the circumcision in the desert because the heat was not it wasn't the appropriate climate that usually would exist, the optimum situation that would exist for you to be able to heal. So he felt that his son's life could be placed in danger. So he had not circumcised his son, Gershom. But God wanted him to circumcise his son, and his wife, Tzipora, did in fact carry out the circumcision, and the problem was solved, and the health and safety concerns of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem created the right conditions so that his son did heal properly as a result of the circumcision, so that issue was solved. But God wanted to make sure that before Moshe Rabbeinu enters into such a holy mission as the leader of the Jewish people and representative of God going before Pharaoh and demanding freedom for the Jewish people in the name of God, that before he do this, that at least he circumcise his son and that he follow the basic Jewish law that had existed even before the giving of the Torah. He wanted to make sure that Moshe Rabbeinu did obey this desire of God that the males in his household be circumcised. Thank you, Ephraim. And we go now to our great friend, Main Koran, who writes, and I quote, "Chaim, I strongly believe we should negotiate with Assad for him to stop funding Hezbollah, and in turn, we help him destroy ISIS. Good idea?" Unquote. No, I don't think it's a good idea, because I don't think ISIS is our main enemy. I think our main enemy is Iran. Now, ISIS is certainly an enemy, but they're not the main enemy. Iran building nuclear bombs, and Assad is an ally of Iran. That is more dangerous than ISIS. ISIS is not close to having nuclear capability. The Iranian terrorist regime, which has murdered far more people than ISIS would ever dream of killing, is close to that, and everybody's already forgotten about Iran building nuclear bombs. So I don't think that's a good idea, no. And I don't think we should be making deals with Assad. And Assad can't be trusted to stop funding Hezbollah. Assad, nothing Assad says can be trusted. Nothing any of these people say can be trusted. Everything they say, they violate. If Assad and ISIS are killing each other in Syria, and if they're going to kill, and if Hezbollah is going to get involved, and they're going to kill each other in Syria and in Lebanon, and if we're going to have this infighting in Iraq, let them do what they're going to do. I don't think we should intervene. I don't think we should intervene until they do something that endangers the United States or Israel. If they do something that endangers the United States or Israel, then we should respond. But if they're killing each other, if terrorists are killing other terrorists, why should we get in the middle of this? So I don't think it's a good idea. Thank you, Main Koran, and I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, Shalom.